Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's Heart 1032, available on the web at heart1032.com.au.
Well, the big question of cool. It's a question that has perplexed some, marketers especially, who want to try and get high school kids buying the latest gadget because it's cool. It's perplexed many others because they don't feel cool, and so they don't feel part of the group. Well, our next guest says pursuing cool is an absolute waste of time. He actually says it's the uncool who are the most blessed in life. Now, there's a topsy-turvy, roundabout, upside-down idea. His name is Paul Grant, and he joins us now. Hi, Paul.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome to Open House. And congratulations on the new book as well, Blessed Are the Uncool.
Why, thank you. It's a real joy. I think we've had a lot of laughs so far, and glad to be on your show.
What is cool, and why do we want to chase it so much?
Well, the reason we want to be cool is because it's attractive. Everybody knows what they see it when they see it, no matter what we call it. It's a chameleon in many respects. But cool is a performance that we do and that we often enjoy watching others do. Cool is basically a projection of sort of cosmic rebellion. It has a long and convoluted history through many different nationalities have contributed to it, but the state that we're in now in the 21st century, cool is simultaneously an act of rebellion, but it's also been an attitude that's been co-opted by the advertising industry, as you were referring to earlier. It's both rebellion and mainstream as you can get.
Yeah, you're actually saying that a projection of cosmic rebellion. Tell me more about that.
Well, cool is a device that we can use. It's a way of telling the world that we're untouchable, especially directed at any would-be authority figure or anybody who would like to constrain your behavior in any which way. So cool's focus is primarily on the self. No one will be a master of me but me, myself.
Hmm. What do you think are some of the main ways we go about chasing coolness? I mean, obviously we think about brand names. Obviously we think about clothes, hairstyles, those kinds of things. They're probably the outward appearances. Are there other ways that we pursue cool?
You know, what got me first starting to think about this was back when I was a teenager, and I think that's probably the same for just about everybody. I was in Latin class. That's never a great place to start being cool because it's a hopeless place. But my grammar school teacher pulled me out of the hall and he yelled at me for 15, 20 minutes straight about my attitude. And the whole time I was projecting an untouchable smirk at him. He was so mad. And I was wondering why he won't shut up. And I realized at one point, I was about 16, I'm trying to be cool here. And it was as if the lights went on. And then I realized, I bet if I wipe that attitude off my face, he's going to stop and he'll let me go my merry way. And sure enough, as soon as he felt like he was being listened to, he let me go. And so cool is both a device for marketing, a fashion statement, as you were saying, but it's also a way that we protect ourselves. So in my pathetic little rebellion in Latin class, it was my way of telling him that I was not scared of him. Another mistake that a lot of teenagers made, and I was one of them as well, and I think people make it all the way along the line, is that you can't buy cool. If you buy a something, you can still be a social failure in those fancy shoes, because cool is performed rather than it can't be bought and sold.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big lie that the advertisers would like you to believe.
Yes, that's true. I mean, we've all heard of people who, you know, we call them here in Australia tryhards. It's a horrible phrase, but tryhards, you know, they're trying to buy the clothes so that they would look cool and be able to be a part of the group, and everybody knows that that's not really who they actually are.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like you said, you can't just go and buy it off the shelf. These days, though, do you still want to be cool?
You know, every once in a while, I, in spite of myself, I do. And I recently I was on the bus on the way to work, and a bunch of teenagers around me were being cool with each other, and they were completely ignoring me. because I'm 32 and, you know, I'm invisible as far as they're concerned. And for a few moments there, I caught myself being offended and trying to think, what can I do? And then I thought, good grief, I could be twice these people's age. What does this matter? Why do I care what they think? And so I pushed that aside. But I've learned over time that life has so much more to offer than cool, and that there's so many fascinating relational experiences we can have when we're not trying to put a front up in front of each other. There's so many ways we can get to know each other and just learn about how colorful the human world is, as long as we put down this little obstacle.
Mm. Well, we're talking to Paul Grant. He's the author of this book, Blessed Are the Uncool. Paul, explore that a little bit further then. How does cool actually get in the way of us actually having a good life?
I think cool ultimately lives for the here and now. If you were one thing yesterday, that doesn't matter. If you were great yesterday, it doesn't matter at all as far as cool is concerned. Cool also doesn't concern itself about tomorrow. It's only about the here and now, and it's only about your performance right here and now. So in a sense, cool is an ahistorical attitude. And really, the real joys and depth and sorrow of the human experience and human relationships, it's lived out through time, and as we can belong to each other over periods of time, and especially when you get into family relationships that last over the decades, we really throw away some of the riches when we waste it with looking good at right at the moment.
Mm. Well, it's interesting that the things that are coming to my mind as we speak now is that cool, in many ways, is very connected with relationships. It's about trying to buy our way in or try to psych our way in into a social group so that we will be part of a group. It shows the relational angst that we have and the desire to actually be with other people too, doesn't it?
That's right. That aspect really shows the lie at the bottom of it, that if people who have truly, honestly dedicated their lives to cool have often ended up quite tragically. I'm thinking of the jazz player John Coltrane, for example, mm-hmm. who ended up with heroin addictions and others. Most of us compromise our commitment to cool, and I've come to realize that, you know what, why try to be cool half the time and live a happy life the other half of the time? Why don't I just give it up altogether and, you know, laugh with the laughing and mourn with the mourning? There was a teenager who got killed around the block from me a couple days ago, and the neighborhood is really sad. And then there's still some people who are, you know, walking down the street as if they weren't affected by that.
Mm, telling.
Yeah.
When we talk about Jesus, in the 70s, with the rise of the Jesus movement and the countercultural movements that were kind of, you know, a reaction to the other movements of the 60s, etc., in many ways it was kind of typical to see Jesus portrayed as cool. And often you'll still, today, you'll actually see a new movement of T-shirts with Jesus' face on the T-shirt. It's almost as if, you know, Jesus is my homeboy, he's cool, yeah. I'm hanging with the man. When it comes to God and cool, what's the relationship there?
When we look at Jesus, he allowed himself to get affected by the world, deeply affected. I mean, he cried with people and laughed and got embroiled in hot arguments with people, and he lived a full, brilliant life. So in that respect, in that way, he wasn't cool because he let the world get to him and get under his skin, and he lived out there. If he's just an icon of cool, well, you know, Che Guevara is an icon of cool too, and he isn't continuing to have the influence on changed lives like Jesus is. So.
Yeah, that's right. Do you think that it's ever good for churches to use cool to attract people? I mean, we've got a lot of cool books, cool music, even a lot of cool churches rising up as well.
Yes.
Can it actually be a stumbling block to us in the end?
Oh, yes, but I wouldn't be too dogmatic about that, because cool is so much a part of the way we do life in the modern world that you're not going to escape it. And I think there's some good intentions behind a lot of this, where people really want to not look like they're completely irrelevant. But I would say that cool looked more relevant than it really is, and that when you scratch beneath the surface, scratch beneath the cool, you'll find people who are hurting, and people have some just horrific experiences in their lives, divorces and bad relationships and tragedies. And I think as long as we're preoccupied with being a cool church, we won't get very far. Jesus offers the church healing, and we can be love to each other and bring some new life where there's been death.
Mm. And again, if cool is a bit of an entry point into being a part of a social group, the Christian faith has actually got a much stronger foundation for having social relationships, being actually, you know, part of the very life of God, rather than actually something that we wear or some sort of thing that we project as well.
That's right, and as soon if we can pick up cool and throw it away, well, others can pick us up and throw us away as easily. But if our relationships are grounded in love and our relationships are grounded in a commitment that we can get from Jesus, I think it will have a lot healthier of long-term lives.
Mm. So, Paul, do you have any suggestions for us as to how we can divest ourselves of being cool?
Yes. As if I'm an expert on this matter. I think practice is one. And if you're the first one in the room to drop your cool, you can usually lead others into it. In my experience, it's pretty hard to be both authentic and cool. I think I'd rather be authentic, and sometimes the teenagers on the bus will think I'm a big idiot, but who cares?
Hey, Paul, it's been very cool talking to you, mate.
Well, thank you very much.
That is Paul Grout. He's the author of this new book called Blessed Are the Uncool, Living Authentically in a World of Show, and it's published by IVP Books.
We hope you enjoyed this Heart 1032 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit heart1032.com.au.